So, first of all, I want to thank you. I'm really happy that I'm able to present you some of our results about pasture degradation in Tibetan grasslands. So, the Tibetan Plateau is a very unique ecosystem. It's one of the largest geomorphological units of the world, and as such, it's of special relevance for regional and global climate. But besides that, the Cobresia pygmaea pastures, Cobresia pygmaea is a special species of grass growing there, represents the world's largest alpine ecosystem, and as such, it stores really large amounts of organic carbon and is of special relevance to the global carbon cycle. Besides that, the whole plateau is of particular vulnerability to land use and vegetation changes. This is pretty well known from previous studies, and governmental sedentarization programs of the government of China force now, since the 1950s, the local people to settle down, and this leads to overgrazing nets next to those settlements, and also to reduce grazing pressure in abandoned regions. And we did some studies before, and those studies showed us that moderate husbandry leads to the establishment of such Cobresia root mats, and they prevent erosion, and so this moderate husbandry is beneficial for soil organic carbon and nitrogen storage, as it was done by the nomads there over hundreds of years. But now the overgrazing leads to root mat degradation, and this leads to organic carbon and nitrogen losses. The aim of our study now was not only to understand the overall and total organic carbon and nitrogen losses, but to dig a bit more into deepness and understand the impact of root mat degradation on soil organic matter sources, soil organic matter quality, and also link this to microbial functioning. This is just a short overview over the Cobresia pastures at the Tibetan Plateau. Everything that is in this deep green color belongs to the Cobresia pasture ecosystem. The lighter green colors are alpine steppe ecosystems, and our samples come next to the, are derived from a location next to the little village of Kema. It belongs to the alpine Cobresia pastures, and the soils there are calcic cambisols with a sandy silt texture. In this region, we had the unique chance to study a sequence of degradation stages ranging from stage one with completely intact Cobresia root mats to stage six with almost complete loss of the topsoil horizon and a huge amount of erosion. Along this degradation stage sequence, we sampled four depth increments ranging from 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, and 30 to 40 centimeters of soil samples, and we analyzed those soil samples for their delta 13C depth profiles, their lignin phenol content, for their amounts of cutene and suberine-derived monomers, but also for their activities of several enzymes like beta-glucosidase, xylanase, and phenol oxidase. And we conducted a terminal fragment length polymorphism analysis, shortly TRFLP, for fungi, bacteria, and archaea. But I will especially focus on the fungi now, as they showed the most strong reaction on the soil degradation. If we first of all look at the Delta 13C depth distribution, we can easily observe that there is, beginning from stage 1 with the intact Cobrasia root mats down to stage 5 with the almost completely degraded root mats, there is a shift in the Delta 13C amount values into more deltas, into more 13C depleted direction. This means that the destruction of the root mats leads to changes of the Delta 13C depth profiles, and this was one of the first results that we obtained concerning the organic carbon in that region. And so we were just thinking about what could be the reason for that, how could there be this increase in 13C depleted organic carbon. And so we looked a bit more into detail and measured some biomarkers, for example the cutein-derived hydroxyfatty acids, but also the amount of lignin. And what we observed, especially in the subsoil horizons, not in the topsoil horizons, was that we had an increase in contribution of cutein-derived hydroxyfatty acids, but also an increasing contribution of the lignin to the organic carbon in the subsoil with increasing degradation stage. So as cutein is a component that only occurs in the shoot and leaf litter, this might indicate a translocation of topsoil material through those cracks, but also maybe through leaching into the subsoil with increasing root mat degradation. But it could also mean that because cutein and suberine are compounds which are not so easily degradable compared to other plant-derived compounds, that they are enriched due to their special recalcitrants. And this might be also the case for the lignin. So what we found is an enrichment of complex soil organic matter compounds with increasing degradation stage. This fits very well to our observations with the enzyme activities at those sites. So the most pronounced changes we found again, not in the topsoil but in the subsoil. And if we look at the subsoil stages 3 and 4, we found increased beta-glucosidase enxylanase activity. So this could be due to a subsoil priming, due to translocation of fresh topsoil material, which would correspond to our observation of the enrichment of cutein, which comes from the topsoil, to the subsoil. If we then look at degradation stage 5, which is even more degraded than stage 3 and 4, we found again a decreasing activity, most probably due to the decreasing concentration of easily available organic carbon sources and an enhanced erosion. This is in contrast to what we found for the phenol oxidases. Phenol oxidase is an enzyme that especially contributes to the degradation of more complex organic matter compounds. And what we found in the subsoil is that the activity of phenol oxidase increases up to its highest level in degradation stage 5, which indicates an increasing amount of corresponds to the increasing amount of more complex soil organic matter compounds with increasing degradation stage of the root mats. So what we now try to figure it out is whether we also whether we had only a change in the enzyme activities, or whether this change is linked also to a change in microbial community composition. And therefore, we did those TRFLP measurements analysis And what you can see here is a non-metric two-dimensional scaling plot of the Bray-Curtis matrix of these TRFLP results of the fungi. And what you can clearly see is that the community composition of the different degradation stages differs significantly from each other, starting with this blue triangles for degradation stage 1 and ending with those brown signals for the degradation stage 4 here in the topsoil horizon, and the same holds for the results of the subsoil horizon, where we have a significant shift in the microbial, in the fungi community composition of the subsoils with increasing degradation stage. The most pronounced difference is between degradation stage 5 and the other degradation stages, whereas degradation stage 6, where we already had some recovery of the root mats, fits better into the row of the other degradation stages. So we are now thinking about what could be the reason for this shift in the fungi community composition, and it might be that it is a shift from ectomycorrhiza to arbuscular mycorrhiza, because Cobrasia is one of the almost only grasses which is able to have ectomycorrhiza. The other grasses which establish there when the degradation starts are together with arbuscular mycorrhiza. So the next step will be an analysis and sequencing of the 16S DNA and an ITS sequencing to go there more into detail. To summarize these results, with increasing degradation, we have a loss of topsoil material, we have a decrease in easily available organic matter, we have an increase of contribution of complex organic matter compounds, we have a decrease in the activity of hydrolysis, we have an increase in the activity of the oxyreductases, and we probably, which is not proven yet, might have a decrease in the contribution of ectomycorrhiza. So in conclusion, the destruction of the root mats leads to has a major impact on the organic carbon cycle sources and composition, and a major impact on fungal community structure and functioning. Meaning that these Cobrasia pastures are a very fragile ecosystem, and what we next in the next step, what we want to figure out is if there is a tipping point where a and if a recovery is always possible, or if there will be a point of no return. Thank you very much. Actually, this is what we want to figure out in the next stage of this project. So this is now the end of the first phase, and we are going into a second phase, hopefully. there had been already some efforts to restore this ecosystem, but the problem is that once the A horizon is degraded, the B horizon is really very depleted in nutrients, in everything. It's almost just bare sediment. And therefore, we now try with a moderate husbandry that should lead to a nitrogen input, if this works.
see any kind of invertebrates in these kind of soils, or are they too tall, too high, whatever?
Once again, just I didn't hear you enough. It's we didn't really look for that, but I was there twice, and actually I cannot remember to have seen any. I'm not sure.